Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, best show of the week. Here we go. It's a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Our Herd hierarchy in 1 hour, top 10 NFL teams. I will have a shocking team. I am acknowledging how wrong I was. I am going all in on a team. It's crazy town, and I can't wait for it. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you? Got Kansas City Chiefs colors on this morning.
I do. That was a nice Chiefs win, hard fought in division win.
Is that what you saw?
Well, look, you know, you gotta win the games you play.
Yeah. You saw, you're really impressed with that.
I would have been very unimpressed if they didn't beat the Chargers, that Chargers team.
Can I start with this? And I am joking around with Joy. All you New England haters, okay, what's wrong with the Patriots? What's wrong with the Patriots? What's wrong with the Patriots? I don't know. They're 9-1 and favored by a touchdown over Dallas Sunday. And if they win, you can just put in a bye, one home game for the playoffs, and they're in the AFC Championship. What's wrong with the Patriots? What's wrong with the Chiefs? What do they do well? Patrick Mahomes is talented. I get it. Andy Reid's a great play designer. I get it. That's kind of one and the same, right? I mean, Patrick Mahomes led him in rushing last night. Kneecap injury, Patrick Mahomes. That's what you want? Every couple years, we find a new team that we're absolutely sure is going to unseat the Patriots. There was the LT Chargers, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, AB Steelers, Andrew Luck Colts. The Jags had a couple of cracks at New England. The Houston Texans in their Letterman jackets. And now it's Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And no. These teams are not unseating the New England Patriots. That game shouldn't have been 24-17. You were plus three on turnovers. Phillip Rivers, old, unathletic, inaccurate Phillip Rivers. Four picks and 18 seconds to go. The Chargers have a chance in the red zone to tie the game. That game shouldn't even have been close. Should not have even been close. Again, you keep telling me you've got these teams over the last 15 years that are going to unseat the Patriots. And what's wrong with the Patriots? Patriots just went on the road and won. And they're a touchdown favorite over Dallas, meaning they're probably going to win. It's Foxborough. It's getting cold and windy. And we're going to wake up, and they're going to be 10-1 and virtually assured of a bye, a home field playoff game against an inferior team. Win it, you're in the AFC Championship. My question is, what's wrong with Kansas City? They are the latest flashy, fun, crazy. And you wake up, and you're like, this is what they are. This much better than the Raiders. That's what they are. They're just a little better than the Raiders. And you know what? The identity of the Chiefs is to Patrick Mahomes. They remind me of those Peyton Manning Colt teams, which left a lot of Super Bowl championships on the table. They remind me of the Aaron Rodgers teams, 2011 to 2018. If Aaron wasn't great, they didn't win. And I criticize Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick because I'm always like, could you guys put your arms around Brady and Russell Wilson? Could you just put your arms, give them a big hug? But I'll say this about Seattle and New England. Their sole identity is never Russell Wilson or Tom Brady. Seattle can always beat you different ways. They can run the football, take it away. Russell, defense. We watched San Francisco. Defense was a huge component. Jadeveon Clowney. And we watched New England the other night. Special teams. Edelman a trick play. Secondary's great against Carson Wentz. Kansas City. This is LT and the Chargers, Big Ben with great weapons, Andrew Luck and the Colts, Houston in the Letterman jacket. You know, that's what this is. It feels like, okay, now you're going to tell me it's Baltimore. Now they are interesting, but I start looking around at Kansas City last night, and I'm sorry. Like, this is the team that's going to knock off. You tell me what they do well. They design plays brilliantly, and Patrick Mahomes is great. Okay, I saw that with Peyton Manning in Indy. I saw it with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You're going to leave a lot of Super Bowls on the table, and you're not going to get to a lot of them doing that. Let's shift to a very urgent topic, not just because I live in Los Angeles, but this league right now has so many dynamic, fun, great quarterbacks. It is so much fun. Philip Rivers has become Jameis Winston. I cannot sit here and criticize Jameis Winston as a turnover machine and then say I love Philip Rivers. I mean, Jameis Winston, Tampa, move on. I mean, 6 years in, 5 years in, he's a turnover machine. Philip Rivers has become Jameis Winston. You look down at the stats, you're like, oh my God, 440 yards, 6.5 yards a pass, 50, 28 of 52, 23 first downs. Boy, he fills up a box score. Oh, wait, what's that for? Or four interceptions. I mean, that's Jameis Winston. Every time I watch Jameis Winston, I'm like, oh my God, he threw for 350 yards. He got 25 first downs. He got four interceptions. It's time for the Chargers to move off Philip Rivers. I like Philip Rivers. He doesn't want to move his family from San Diego to L.A. And next year at this time, the Chargers are playing in L.A. They can't sell any tickets. They have no juice in the market. They've got to get a star at quarterback. And my gut feeling is it's Cam, and I think that's their deep second choice. But he is a discount right now what he's making money. In the NFL, Cam's a discount. I think he's their deep second. Or make a run at Tua. It's all working out. Every single team that's moved off an old, unathletic, older quarterback is happy today. Now, Philip Rivers is the best one of those old, unathletic quarterbacks by far. He's better than Eli. He's better than Dalton. He's the best one. I'm not disputing that. He's still got 2 years left somewhere. Maybe it's a Carolina. But everybody that's moving off the old, unathletic guy to the dynamic new guy as the NFL changes, this league is changing. And it's not changing in Philip Rivers' direction. It is a precision league. It's a cut down your mistakes league. It's a just run for a first down if you can't find an open receiver league. You can't just keep throwing it into traffic. I mean, Philip Rivers after the game admitted last night. I mean, this guy, for the record, remember against the Raiders 10 days ago, how bad he was in the 2-minute drill? He just looks old and unathletic, and the Chargers offensive line, like almost all in the NFL now, is not very good. This is the new league. Bad O-lines. Didn't used to be this 10 years ago. But with a new CBA, offensive lines outside of Pittsburgh and Dallas are mostly crap. And they're going to be crap. Indianapolis has a good one. Dallas has a good one. Pittsburgh's got it. Outside of that, there's about 20 mez. And that's the way it's going to be. So you have to. The new NFL is you have to get a quarterback that can move. Kyler Murray with no offensive line, very, very interesting. It's not just that the league is going, they're all going to be Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's an outlier. I mean, he doesn't exist on the market. But they're going to look a lot like Kyler Murray and a lot like Sam Darnold and a lot like Daniel Jones and a lot like Deshaun Watson where, oh, they can throw, but with bad O-line play, now the rule, not the exception, and that's not going to change. They're not going to add more practices and more hitting in the NFL with this safety concern around the league. This is the new NFL. You cannot be old and unathletic at quarterback. I said this. It's not an either-or anymore. It's not, I want a pocket guy or a mobile guy. No. You got to have both. You got to have a pocket guy who can move. Phillip's the least athletic guy in the league now that Eli Manning's not playing. And I'll tell you right now, they have a chance. Two things going for the Chargers. They're moving to a new stadium, can't sell tickets. Right now, they have the 11th pick in the draft, and the Chargers are very unique. They have a good roster. They got three good corners. They got two good pass rushers. They got all sorts of stuff. If I'm the Chargers at number 11, I call the New York Jets at 5, and I say, let's flip spaces. We'll give you our number 2 corner. And if the Jets play hardball, give us one of your pass rushers. We'll take that money off the table. And if I'm the Chargers, I go after Tua because Cincinnati's taking a quarterback and Miami's taking a quarterback and Tua's going to drop. And if I'm the Chargers today, you need juice. This roster is too good. We've got a changing league. I'm the Chargers. I go hard after Tua. And I call the New York Jets, who have a corner issue, a wide receiver issue, a pass rusher issue. And you get on the phone and say, we got two of everything here. We got two good receivers. The Chargers have two good receivers, two good pass rushers, two good backs, two good corners. Go get the number 2 at any of those positions. Flip picks. Jets would gladly move down to 11 or 12. Their need offensive line will be available at 11, 12, 13, or 14. But Tua won't be available there because people are going to pass on him. They're not going to pass on Tua very long. And he would be the star L.A. needs. He would be the juice L.A. needs. He would sell tickets. He would be the mobile quarterback in a conference now that's got Mahomes and Derek Carr. I mean, I think it's this. This is what I love about sports. It's constantly fluid. It's Silicon Valley. It's changing. You got to keep up. Bad O-lines is the new reality. That's the new NFL. Translation, it's not an either-or at quarterback. Got to get a dude that can move. Okay? Justin Herbert, Oregon, can move. Joe Burrow was a high school All-State basketball player, can move. Tua can move. By the way, next year, Trevor Lawrence can move. Justin Fields can move. Two guys on the market. One of them's Cam. He can move. Phillip Rivers felt bad afterwards. By the way, he knows it's a problem afterwards.
It's a football game. I mean, if you could just pick and choose and never throw them ever, I'd choose to throw zero. So certainly don't want to throw them, but certainly I know it's hurting us right now. So, obviously need to cut them out.
This is perfect. The Chargers have two good pass rushers, two good corners, two good backs. Two good receivers. Give up the second best at one of those spots to move up with the Jets or a team like the Jets and solve quarterback, get juice, get mobile, get athletic, because you're not beating Derek Carr and Patrick Mahomes the next 8 years with that. You might as well make a move. This is an NFL draft with three elite prospects. Next year's got two elite prospects. You got five A-plus prospects coming in. You got Cam on the market, who would be my second choice. I'd take a young guy and start over.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
One of the things that drives me crazy sometimes with people in general, so I tell my therapist, when people live in a tunnel and they can't see out of the tunnel, like Philadelphia guy thinks everybody loves the Eagles or they're against the Eagles. And most people, frankly, in America don't care about the Eagles. Outside of Philadelphia, nobody wakes up worrying about the Eagles. We're not for you. We're not against you. We don't give a rip. I do like Carson Wentz in the front office. And when I lived in the East Coast, Boston is one of these cities where they think everybody just cares about the Red Sox. No. They care about the Yankees. People think everybody cares about the Patriots. No, they care about the Cowboys. So Dallas plays New England this week. Dallas is overwhelmingly the number one brand in American sports. It's not close. 8 of the top 50 TV ratings in America last year were Cowboy games. That includes all television. 8 out of 50. And the Cowboys were 9-7. They're not winning Super Bowls like New England. So Brady was asked on WDEEI if he thinks the Patriots, and it doesn't surprise me that a New England host, hey, are we America's team in New England? And Brady, smart, self-awareness, from California, traveled the world, big picture guy, not Patrick O'Sullivan from Southie. Brady's like, slow down. New England's not America's team.
I mean, I don't think we're probably America's favorite team at this point. So I think we've got six states that cheer for us. So six is better. Most teams have like one state or a little bit of an area, but we got six. So I think that's pretty good. The fans we have, we really appreciate, and they come out and support us. But we have a lot of non-fans, too. I'll put it that way.
And by the way, I don't think Connecticut supports the Patriots. I think it's 50-50 with the Giants and the Patriots. Goulet's from Connecticut. It's a borderline New York Giants state over a Patriots state. And by the way, if the Patriots went 5-11, 5-11, 5-11 when Brady retires, nobody would care. They would be the Toronto Raptors. Nobody would care. Dallas is Starbucks. It's popular everywhere. The Patriots are Dunkin' Donuts. The further you get away from New England, nobody cares. There's only three real brands in this league in the NFL. Dallas is one, Pittsburgh two, Green Bay is three. There is no number four. Number four is based on who's winning. If Drew Brees won a Super Bowl, the Saints would be number four. San Francisco with Montana, they were a four. Bradshaw with the Steelers. When you get these big iconic brands like Green Bay with Favre, Dallas with Aikman, Big Ben, Bradshaw with the Steelers, they challenge the Cowboys, but they never surpass them. Favre with the Packers, Aikman with the Cowboys, that's about as close as you can get to surpassing Dallas when you got the handsome, the star quarterback, But the fourth most popular team in this league, it just, you know, Seattle with Russell Wilson for 2 years was wildly, you know, Philadelphia for about an hour, the Giants winning Super Bowls. But it's a three-team brand league. Nobody's ever surpassed the Cowboys. There's a rule in the NFL. You cannot put any team what's the rule? It's a TV rule on primetime. You can't have any team on more than six times. That's called the Cowboy rule. Otherwise, everybody would put the Cowboys. I mean, we at Fox, we'd put them Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. Last year, I think they were the highest rated game on four to five networks. Ours, CBS, Sunday Night, Monday Night. They have to create rules so that you don't put the Cowboys on primetime. So Brady gets it. Brady gets it. Like, the Cowboys have always been number one. This rating Sunday night for the Cowboys and the Patriots will be huge. It's 75% of Cowboy rating, 25% of Tom Brady rating. I don't think the Patriots, if they lost, would be in the top 12 to 15. I really don't. If Russell Wilson didn't play for the Seahawks, that's not a top 15 brand. Seahawks were never nationally relevant until Russell Wilson got there. That's why these star quarterbacks in the NFL, they're worth $100 million a year. I mean, you can't. What is the Seattle Seahawks brand without Russell Wilson? What if Matt Flynn was a starter 6 years now? That's not a national brand. Montana likes him. Washington likes him. Oregon kind of likes him, and Idaho likes him. So it's just nice to see that Brady has an understanding of sort of the big picture. He may live in Boston. He's not of Boston.
He may also read Forbes, where they very clearly stated that the Dallas Cowboys are the most profitable sports organization in the world. There's other countries on this planet, and in all of those countries, the Cowboys are the most profitable in the world. They're the biggest brand in the world when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
Period.
I don't even think in the NFL, it's Green Bay with Favre got close. Big Ben, Bradshaw, Steelers moved close. Aikman, Cowboys got close. Aikman Cowboys was, in my estimation, Aikman Cowboys was the most popular the Cowboys have ever been.
Yeah.
They pulled away from the league in popularity then. Now, you know.
You don't have to love the Cowboys, but you just can't argue with those numbers. Facts are facts.
The star on the Cowboy logo is a symbol of American football. The Patriot logo is a symbol in Boston. I mean, and I'm a Patriot homer, right? I'm a Brady homer, but that brand is Brady. That brand is Belichick. It's not the logo. It's not the brand.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast. That'd be me, and that's the show. If you like football, you will like this podcast because that's all I talk. Coming up on the show, Mexico City. What was up with that field? Phillip Rivers, is it over? Why John Harbaugh has copied Jim Harbaugh and it's working. Tom Brady, what was up with that performance? And Tua, where's he going to go in the draft? Again, 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
Three Super Bowl rings. Future so bright, he wears shades off into these shows. Two-time Pro Bowler Mark Schlereth is joining us, who, by the way, so you've done some Panthers. You've done a lot of that NFC South. So tell me I'm nuts on this. Okay, so we got 3A prospects coming into football.
Yeah.
We've got about 10 to 12 to 13 really good young quarterbacks. I count Garoppolo, Carr, same age. So, and with the deterioration of offensive lines, there is no, you can't argue this. That's the new normal. It's like security at the airport. It's going to be an hour. That's the new normal, right?
Right.
And so you got to have some athletic ability at quarterback. Now, Teddy does not provide that. That's my only knock on Teddy. But if you look at what Teddy Bridgewater provides, Carolina, to me, they want to move off Cam, but they don't know how to do it.
Right.
You've done that division. Am I nuts to say Bridgewater is a natural? Cam will go somewhere in the market. Bridgewater to Carolina.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm sitting over there and I heard that for the first time. And I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. Normally, I like to come on here and bust you, but I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit, because remember when Bridgewater took the Minnesota Vikings to the playoffs, I believe, you know who was the offensive coordinator? Norv Turner. You know who the offensive coordinator is in Carolina?
Norv Turner.
Norv Turner. I mean, that does make a lot of sense, and they've had success with Teddy Bridgewater. There is no question about that in, you know, Minnesota before he had that horrific knee injury. So
Chicago's not going to go for him because of his arm is limited. It's a windy, cold northern division. So the northern teams are, like, out on him. It's dome teams or southern teams. And I think it works. And it's, I want to talk about this too with Mark Schlereth. So there are these teams that want to move off quarterbacks, but they don't have a solution. Eli, the Giants wanted to move off Eli for a year and a half. They didn't have a solution.
Correct.
Daniel Jones looks good in camp. Whew, out. Cam Newton, they were hoping Kyle Allen's the solution. He's not. Teddy could be. So Phillip Rivers, they've got two good pass rushers in the Chargers.
Yeah.
Two good receivers, two good backs, two or three good corners.
Right.
They can move the second best at any of those and move up in the draft. They can't sell tickets. They're moving into a stadium. Phillip doesn't want to live in L.A. You call me crazy. To sell tickets in this town, they need juice at quarterback. I'd go after Tua. I'd move off Phillip Rivers. I know he's an old.
But I would look at Tua. I mean, that the plan is, like, is he injury prone? How's he going to come off this hip? We don't know. I would say this, and you talked about offensive line being an epidemic, and I travel around calling games. I talk to general managers all the time who say, how would you fix it? You know, how would you fix the issues that are going on in the NFL right now? And a lot of it is because you have created a league in which, you know, you can't work on that skill.
That's right.
That's
an unsolvable problem.
Right. That is moving a man from point A to point B against his will is one of the greatest skills in football. And you have eliminated the opportunity to work on that skill. And then you wonder why you're no good up front. So there's a big issue there, and it's an epidemic. Not only that, think about the freak shows that you have to block on a week-to-week basis.
Pick guys are bigger, stronger, faster.
I mean, they're running 4-4 off the corner, and they're 260 pounds. I mean, it's ridiculous.
So this is my point. There are things in sports that are solvable.
Right.
Replay. Right now everybody's freaking out about the pass interference replay thing. Just change the rule and solve it. I think offensive line play is not solvable. College is doing the spread. So outside of an occasional Wisconsin offensive lineman, nobody's a road grader.
Right.
They don't exist. And the NFL is not going to add more practices and more hitting with offensive linemen, the unit that needs it. Bad quarterback, bad O-line play is here. Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You can't win that. You can't have an old and athletic guy. You got to move at quarterback. I mean, Darnold, last 2 weeks, is running for his life, and they're winning, but it's like, Phillip Rivers had 6 picks in those games.
Right. You know what's interesting about that? You go statistically, show me the top 5 teams as far as run percentage is concerned. The percentage of times they run the football. Because you can fix O-line issues. This is where I would disagree with you. You can fix O-line issues if you have a coach that understands O-line problems. Right? You have to be intelligent enough to know what the issues are so that you can address the issues. But if you are a team that just wants to spread you out and throw it, every single time. You show me the teams that have the top percentage.
San Francisco.
Top running percentage. San Francisco. You've got
Saints. The Saints.
I mean, you've got New England. You've got, I mean, the five top teams. You look at the bottom teams, I guarantee you, the Jets, Miami. I know Atlanta's number one. They're 3-7 right now. They're number one as far as percentage. They throw it 70% of the time, 69.7% of the time. You cannot – you expose your issues up front when you play the game that way. So those issues, like, you're not all of a sudden going to be more athletic there, or all of a sudden you're going to find road graders in college. What you have to do is understand how to call plays, how to put a game plan together that protects those guys and yet is still dynamic. And the league is shifting. It is. There's this cyclical change that people are looking at it going, we better start to learn how to dictate in situational football when we have to dictate in the running game. Not popping a draw on 3rd and 6 for 30 yards and going, look, let's celebrate. We know how to run the ball. No, you don't. You got to be able to run it down when you can. When 3rd down and 2, you better know how to run the ball. 8-man fronts, 9-man fronts, that's all you see when you get in the red zone. You damn well better understand how to run the ball in those situations. And if you don't, you're not a very good football team.
I said I'd buy 2 Raiders season tickets, give them to a charity if they were 500 or better. I think I'm going to lose the bet. I think they'll beat the Jets this weekend. Mike Mayock, I'm watching I watched the Raiders on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. To me, are we sure Kansas City's better than the Raiders? If they are, probably at the end of the year, they're better than the Raiders because they host them December 1st, and that'll be the game Kansas City wins. You know Mayock.
Sure.
Raiders' offensive pieces, Mayock's hit home runs.
Right.
Gruden's offense is clever, power, smart, finesse, efficient. It's everything.
There's no question. What people don't understand about Mike Mayock is Mike Mayock comes from a family where his dad was an offensive line coach. So I've had conversations this season with Mike Mayock because I've done a couple of Raider games where he's just like, listen, I have built this team based on my father's philosophy from the inside out. Like, that's – you look at their offensive line, Hudson's an all-pro. Richie Incognito can flat-out play, and he's playing great right now. The Colton Miller kid at the left tackle
has really played well. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but – I mean, I'm talking about Gabe Jackson, and then they went out and got Trent Brown. So they solidified their front guys. They've got the Jacobs at the running back position, Hunter Renfro. They built it from the inside out. They play with three legit tight ends. I mean, they are – like, you watch them.
They could be a power team.
Oh, my – they want to – I called their game in Chicago when Chicago was still good. They were the reason Chicago's defense is struggling right now because they opened up the blueprint on how to just absolutely bludgeon. They thunder punched them in the lips from the opening play of the game. And I'm telling you what, they double teamed at the point and they just pile drove the Chicago Bears, and they had no answer for it. And I tell you what, they can do that to just about anybody because of the way Mayock has built them.
They have three running backs that all look the same. Jacobs is the best. Then they have possession guys like a Hunter Renfro.
Mm-hmm.
The tight end, they got Darren Waller.
He's a great story. Out of the league, kicked out, was a drug user, went to rehab. He's completely turned his life around, and he's 6'5", he's 265, and he is put together, and he is not afraid to block people. He's one of the few guys, he's like George Kittle in the NFC, who will block you and also run routes around you. He is not afraid to get his hands dirty. I want to vomit in my mouth right now. I just said I really like the Raiders.
Yeah, you're saying a lot of nice things about the Raiders.
No, I got to tell you something. When I watch the Raiders, they match up with a Baltimore Raven. 73% completion percentage, power running backs, good old line.
Does not match the Ravens' defense. The Ravens' defense, you look at what the Ravens did. They got rid of C.J. Mosley. They got rid of Smith on the outside, Za'Darius Smith. They got rid of Weddle. And their defense is outrageous. I love Wink Martindale, their coordinator. He is one of those guys that say, hey, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose punching you in the face. There is nobody who blitzes more. There's nobody who plays more man coverage. And they're just like, bring it. Let's go. We can line up with you.
Okay, you said you like the Raiders. Do you like the Cowboys? Because you grew up, Washington Redskins, Denver Bronco, Cowboys on the road, New England, biggest regular. I never preview NFL games on Tuesday.
Right.
I can't. This game says so much. The outcome could mean so much.
Yeah.
What do you make of Dallas at New England? 7-point dog.
That to me is not the talent of the football team or the way that to me is this team ready on a big stage to be mature enough to make the plays against Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, right? I mean, Tom even comes out. They're still America's team, which always drove me crazy. You know, the star on your helmet, we're the Dallas Cowboys. You go to Dallas, man, you'd be sitting on the bench. Like, you sit on the bench. And it just make you want. I mean, it just make you sick. Everything was sponsored. It does. This third down brought to you by TCBY Yogurt, the official yogurt of America's team. You know, and you'd be like, I hate the Cowboys,
but
they are what they are. But I think this spread says to me more about one, New England's defense, right, and how will Dak and how will the Cowboys attack that. And I just said, I think it says to me, it's about the coaching and about the maturity level of the Dallas Cowboys. Are you ready? I mean, come on. You had Minnesota at home on a Sunday. I think it was a Sunday night game, Minnesota at home, where Kirk Cousins has all these demons. He can't exercise the demons of prime time against a 500, above 500 team and all this stuff. And you let them go 13 plays, 10 running plays at the end to go up, you know, to go up on you and in a drive at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, whatever it was, I can't remember the exacts of that. But the bottom line is you let Kirk Cousins, who you couldn't hold him down.
And that
to me is what that says.
That line's an indictment. If I said to you, let's just do this top of our head, 10 best players in this. I always do this.
Okay.
Sometimes when I bet on Friday and I'm undecided, 10 best players in a game. Zeke would be in the 10, no question. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper's in the 10.
Sure.
One of the two Cowboy linebackers is in the 10.
Yes.
Who Jalen Smith's probably having a better year.
But they're both outstanding.
DeMarcus Lawrence is in the top 10.
Yeah.
Tyron Smith, Cowboys, is in the top 10.
Zach Martin's in the top 10.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so Stephon Gilmore's in the top 10. Right. Brady's in the top 10. You start looking at it.
What do you have left now? You have one? Are you at nine now?
I'm at eight.
At eight.
I think one of the McCourty brothers may be in the 10.
Sure, sure.
But my point is, Dallas is a seven-point dog and may have seven of the 10 best players in the game. I don't think Dak's very far out of the top 10, to be honest with you, right now.
I think he'd probably be in there at 9 or 10. The way he's playing, he'd probably be.
So this is essentially an indictment on the coaching staff of Dallas. That's what that number is to me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, this is Belichick versus Jason Garrett, and this is, you know, your maturity or lack thereof versus our defense and our maturity and our coach.
By the way, a minute and a half left. Patrick Mahomes led Kansas City in rushing, got four picks, and at the end, Chargers going 18 seconds red zone for a tie. Kansas City's the latest Patriot beater in the AFC. What do they do well? I know Mahomes is great. What do they do well?
Well, they're built to me. They're built as a regular season football team. Well, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't have any stats. I just watch games, right? I just call games and watch games. You look at them, I guarantee you, off the top of my head, they've got more 40-plus yard touchdowns than any team in the league. You know why? Because they're that athletic and they're that dynamic. And when you go week to week to week, like you do in this league, you're going to beat teams with big-time plays when you have those big-time athletes. You get in the playoffs, inclement weathers, good football teams.
Better coaches.
They don't give up 40-yard touchdowns.
Never.
They don't. Like, you look at – go back to the Raiders game. I think it was week two. The Raiders gave up, like, four 40-yard touchdowns in the second quarter. They end up losing the game 28-10. Like, it just doesn't happen come playoff time. And I just don't think you're built to win in the playoffs. I just don't.
I think they're the Houston Rockets. They are great.
I think that's great.
And all of a sudden, you get to the playoffs, and it's like, you know, your backcourt has to play some defense.
Andy Reid is Mike D'Antoni, right?
I like Andy more.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Kansas City. What do they do well? I love Andy Reid's play designing, and I love Patrick Mahomes' talent. But they're 26th in total defense. They're 30th in rush defense. And I'm sorry. If you can't get New England off the field or Baltimore off the field or Indianapolis off the field, you're not winning any playoff games. You cannot be this bad running the football. Last night they got four picks, and the Chargers were going for the tie with 18 seconds left in Mexico City. They simply don't do enough well. They get to the quarterback pretty well, but, you know, when your offense won't be on the field because you can't stop the Ravens running game, you're 10th in the NFL.
Number 9.
I think the Raiders right now do more well than the Kansas City Chiefs. The Raiders have allowed the second fewest sacks. Their offensive line's better. The Raiders are tied for fourth in giveaways with only 10. They don't turn it over. They're healthier than Kansas City. They run the football better than Kansas City. They've won 5 of their last 7, and they've gone up against teams like Chicago and pushed them around. This is a real Raiders team. I was totally wrong on it. Mike Mayock's done an unbelievable job between Richie Incognito, Trent Brown in the offensive line, between Josh Jacobs at running back, Hunter Renfro, the wide receiver, the tight end from LSU, Darren Waller, the other tight end from Baltimore. They can play power football. They can be clever. They're incredibly efficient. Ninth in offensive rushing, yards per game. So top 10, they'll pound it, eat the clock. Raiders 9.
Number 8.
Cowboys at 8, I drop them. Listen, we got a problem here defensively. Jeff Driskel gave you problems. They're 21st in takeaways. They haven't had a takeaway in 2 weeks. Again, Jeff Driskel, Kirk Cousins in primetime. Takeaways tell me you're making the other quarterback uncomfortable. When you start seeing big turnovers, that's like last night, you know, you see a lot of turnovers. It's like, oh, there's something going on with the quarterback. He is rushed. Dallas doesn't do that anymore. Last couple of weeks, they're giving up 28 a game. to what I consider, you know, Kirk Cousins and Jeff Driskel. Kirk Cousins is obviously better. It's not about Dak. Dak's one of the things I love about this team. Left tackle, Amari Cooper, Dak, love that. Love that. I like their weapons a lot. Randall Cobb, Michael Gallup. They actually have one of the top four or five receiving cores in the NFL. But this defense is a problem, especially when you're in a division with Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and a lot of clever offenses.
Number seven.
Slightly ahead of them, the Minnesota Vikings. They've won six of their last seven. But, you know, they're so weird. They fall behind 20-0 at home to Denver. They only rush for 37 yards. And, by the way, if you go to Kirk Cousins against teams 500 or above since 2018, 4-8. So, you know, this is one of these I don't trust them still. Love their talent. Love their roster. Certainly make the argument. They're like a cold-weather Chargers. Like, the roster, you can't deny the roster. They got two of everything. They got good players everywhere. But I think, you know, this week's a classic example. Escaping Denver at home after falling behind 20-0.
Number six.
Green Bay. Like them a lot. Getting better offensively. Aaron has a running game, but I don't think their defense, again, intimidates anybody. They don't give the ball away, so you're getting all the upside of Aaron. I get explosiveness. I like the receivers, and Aaron never gives you free picks. You know, Aaron's got a passer rating of 102 this year, 65% completion percentage. But again, I do believe teams will be able to impose their will. I think a Seattle could run on them. We already saw Philadelphia do that. So I like Green Bay. Don't love them. I like them.
Number five.
San Francisco hosts Green Bay this weekend and is favored. Now, their defense has allowed 25-plus points in three straight games. Some of that is Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray are really good. Let's not overreact to their defense. I still think it's great. But, you know, you get these off-script quarterbacks who can run around a little bit like Kyler and Russell, and you can see they're a little bit vulnerable. They need George Kittle back. He's Gronk. He is Gronk to the Patriots. But New England's offense is not the same without Gronk. Kittle's been hurt. He's a man-child blocking. He's dynamic offensively. He can go vertical. So they're just not the same team. But they're still very, very good. They're rushing game. They're not running the football as well as they were early in the year, so I put them at five.
Number four.
I put Seattle one spot ahead of them because I just trust Russell Wilson to make a play down the stretch, maybe more than anybody not named Tom Brady. This year, Russell Wilson's completing 69% of his throws. He's added Josh Gordon. He's first in the NFL two-minute drill. The only losses this year by Seattle, by the way, is the Ravens and the Saints. So, you know, they're in good company. And, by the way, Jadeveon Clowney and Josh Gordon in those losses are not a factor. Now those guys are real players. So I think Seattle added two high-end players to already a good team to make them very good. I would put them. And by the way, they've also won a couple of overtime games. So we know situationally, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, games get tight in the playoffs, they're good.
Number three.
New England. You know, again, we can keep barking on them, and I would be the first to admit they have no deep threat. But my question is, if they had a deep threat in January in New England, what would it matter in Foxborough? It's 9 degrees and raining sideways. They didn't have a great deep threat last year. I think they're missing an offensive piece. Can N'Keal Harry be that piece? They're getting Isaiah Wynn back at left tackle. They win this weekend. They're favored by a touchdown. They're going to be 10-1, guaranteeing they win the division, get a bye, and host a playoff game. Win it, they're in the AFC Championship. They still have the best coach in football, the best secondary, an A defense, A experience, A coordinators. Still like them.
Number two.
Saints. They've turned the ball over once in six games. Outside of that crappy performance a couple weeks ago against Atlanta, they've kind of figured out the pass-run thing. They're a power-running team with a Hall of Fame quarterback, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, very good offensive line. They got a nice pass rush. They've done a good job to draft that defensive front last few years. You just got to take that Atlanta game out. It doesn't exist. It just, somebody lost the tape, bury it in the backyard. It's a very good football team. They have not had a turnover in the last six games. They're third in rush defense, third down, six in total offense. Not a lot not to like outside of one lousy game against the Falcons.
Number one.
Baltimore, they're hot, healthy, and humming. They're unique. They're hard to practice for. You'd probably need to see them like New England a second time off a bye. They've won six straight. They remind me of the Carolina Cam team that got to the Super Bowl. There's a certain Mike Tyson quality where they're just coming out. They feel great about themselves. They're a matchup problem. They know they're a matchup problem. Lamar, seven straight games of rushing over 60 yards and 70% completion percentage. So he's feeling great about himself. They're mostly healthy. They've upgraded at corner, you know, and they clobbered Seattle. They clobbered New England. They clobbered the Texans. I don't even think there's a debate at this. I mean, you got an agenda if you don't think they're the number one team in the NFL. It was like early in the season, first 6 weeks, Niners looked like the best team. Now it's Baltimore. So we've been split. Half the season, San Francisco. Last half of the season, Baltimore, number one. That is our hurt hierarchy.